So we're kind of taking a pause from our series, Senior Moments, and to have this special day of baptism. And I want to share just a couple things with you. If you don't know me very well, I'm going to share a story. If you've been around me, I've probably shared this story with you before, because it's kind of a funny thing that God taught me a lot through it. But when I was 20, my brother James and I moved in together to be roommates. There's a picture of James and I when we were about that age, which, I mean, I don't think I've changed a bit. He definitely looks older if I showed you a picture of him. So when we moved in, like I said, he was 21, I was 20, and so he went out, like one of his favorite things to do were to go to clubs and go dancing. And he would always tell me how awesome it was. He would say, man, we went out, we had all this fun, met all these people, yada, yada, yada. And he would just go on and on and on about it. He goes, when you turn 21, I'm taking you with me. And I'm like, okay, you know. So anyway, I turned 21, and he says to me, hey, let's go to such and such place. And I'm like, okay. And to be honest with you, I was scared to death. And he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in, and we'll have some fun. You'll ask some people to dance. And I'm like, hold on a second. So you just go up and ask someone to dance? He's like, yeah. I said, you mean like a stranger? He goes, oh, yeah. You just go up to a stranger and ask him to dance. I'm like, you're saying you go up to someone you've never met before and say, hey, would you like to dance? He goes, that's exactly what you do. I go, well, what if they say no? He goes, you ask someone else. I'm like, I wanted to vomit. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to do that. So anyway, we go, and you know, he's kind of showing me around the place. I feel like my eyes are this big. I have no idea what to do. It's a two-story place, and we're looking down on this huge dance floor, and there's all these people out there dancing, the music's blaring, and people are all just talking and mingling and having fun, and I'm sitting there literally scared to death, and my brother goes up to some person and goes, hey, do you want to dance? And she says, yes, and they go out to the dance floor, and now they're dancing this huge group of people, and I'm standing there by myself like, you know, oh, man. So I'm just kind of standing there, right? And I'm kind of, you know, leaning up against the thing, kind of looking and just feeling completely awkward. I look over to my right, and there's this girl looking at me, and she's smiling. I go, you know, I put my head down immediately like, oh, man. And, you know, I feel my heart's racing, and I am getting sweaty inside and feeling like vomit is actually about to happen. And I'm just out of my mind, I look over, and she's still there smiling at me like, oh, man, I put my head down. And I couldn't put my head up after that. And after a while, she kind of wandered off, and I felt like complete relief and yet shame all at the same time. You ever felt like that? All right, so here's the deal. So my brother, he had like this whole group of people, and he's just having fun all night long, and I'm feeling completely awkward. And finally, after a long time, I saw her again, and I went up to her, and I'm like, I'm going to do it. I go up, and I say, hey, would you like to dance? And she goes, oh, honey, it's too late now. We're leaving. I went, okay. Like, it just, no, man. So here's what I learned about that. Sometimes I know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't do it. Sometimes I know that something might actually be good, and I don't do it. This happens everywhere in my life. It happens spiritually in my life, too. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, where you kind of know God wants you to take a step, but you just don't. Whether it's talking to somebody or encouraging somebody or helping somebody or taking a step of faith, letting go of something, there are just times when I just sense, I just know that God wants me to take a step, and I wait, I hesitate. And I believe that is what keeps us from experiencing the things that God has for our life. And I think if we hesitate, we miss out. And here's the thing. I know that everyone in the room, it doesn't matter where you're at in your journey with God. For some of you, you came in and your journey with God is really sharp. Like you are on path. You're step for step with God. And I know there's some people in this room that you're saying, I don't even know what path you're talking about. I know this, that of all of us though, none of us want to miss that step where God is right there with us. We all want to experience that moment where we sense God right in the midst of the battle with us, in the midst of life, in the midst of joy and pain. We all want that. We don't want to miss out, right? I know that. I've met with so many people over the years, any end of the journey, and everyone wants the same thing. So how do we keep from missing out? I'm going to share a passage of scripture. I'm going to share a point to that scripture, but I think really it's going to come down to how do we keep from missing out with God? So let's take a second and let's pray. As I'm praying, I want you to pray. And just ask God, you know, help me to hear and understand from your word what is you're trying to tell me today, right? All right, so let's pray. Father, just so grateful to see, you know, this young man and this young woman take a step of baptism today. And it's exciting to watch them do that. But I also know, God, for everyone in this room, we all have steps you're trying to get us to take, that you want us to see something of you, and you want us to take a step of faith. God, help us to see that. Help us to see what our step is. Help us to see the roadblock and the reason we hesitate. But God, more than anything else, I pray that your name and your glory would be made known through through the Word, through your Holy Spirit today. We ask that in your Son's name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, open it up to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to share kind of quickly about this passage. And the thing I want to share is this, is the clarity of the gospel demands a response. That when you hear the gospel and you understand it, that you hear it in your mind, but you kind of know it in your heart is true, it actually demands a response from your life. Even if you don't do anything with it, that is your response. People who respond to the gospel, that's their response. People who know the gospel and have been following Jesus forever, they understand that the gospel is so important, it demands a response. The clarity of it demands a response. In this point in Scripture, let me explain what's happening in Acts chapter 8. Jesus was on the scene. He's with his disciples. He dies. Everybody's crushed. He comes back. Everybody's just elated, right? Jesus walks around for like 40 days with his people, and he's teaching them all these things that he wants them to do to start the church. He leaves, and when he leaves, he says, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, that's the local area, in Samaria, a little bit further out, and to the othermost parts of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses. So then what happens is the day of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit actually comes, and that's the start of the church. The church are people who become Christ followers, who the Holy Spirit is in their life. The Holy Spirit comes, and there's all these people in Jerusalem who are there from all over the world. All these Jews come to celebrate, and they're there, and Peter, the apostle, gets up and shares the gospel. When he's done, all the people say, what do you want us to do? And he says, repent and be baptized. And 3,000 people that day, they literally say, I'm going to follow Jesus. They get baptized, and they become the start of the church. And the church grew so quickly, it overtook Jerusalem. Now, the leaders in Jerusalem were so angry that they started a persecution, and the Christians were being persecuted, put in jail. Some people were killed, and a lot of the Christians scattered. One of those who scattered was one of these young disciples named Philip. Philip, they said, who's going to go to Samaria? And Philip's like, I'll go to Samaria. Now, that's a big deal, and let me explain why, because Samaria had a lot of tension with Jerusalem, because they had done some things, and they were considered, you know, racially not the same as the Jews, and there was all this tension. And yet, Philip goes down there, and a revival breaks out. I mean, it's amazing. All these thousands of people start coming to Christ in Samaria. And just then, God calls Philip to leave. And here's what happens. Verse 26 in chapter 8 of Acts. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now think about this just for a second. Philip is in the midst of this huge ministry revival in Samaria, and God calls him down on a road to meet one person. What does that say about God? That God cares about the one as much as he cares about the crowd, right? So Philip goes down. Immediately he leaves. He doesn't hesitate. He goes. Then he's run along this road, and this road is running south, you know, and it's heading back down to where, you know, this Ethiopian is headed, and it's in a desert area, and he says, there's a chariot. I want you to go. And he sprints to the chariot, and he hears the guy reading the book of Isaiah, and he goes. Now, this Ethiopian eunuch, let me explain. He was an important man in the government. His job was to serve Candace. Candace was a term like Pharaoh, queen of Ethiopia. Ethiopia was south of Egypt. Anywhere in Africa south of Egypt named Ethiopia is literally the othermost parts of the earth is what it was referred to. So here's the completion of that prophecy. They're going to, you know, Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. And here's Philip. He goes, and he starts talking to him. Doesn't hesitate. Verse 32. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, he opens not his mouth. And in his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from him. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Now here's this guy. He is probably somewhat familiar with Judaism because he's heard about, you know, the God of Abraham and Isaac, so he's going to go to Jerusalem to worship. The problem is he can't get in. First off, he's a eunuch, and there's some rules against that. He is not a Jew, so he can't get in really to worship. So he just goes to Jerusalem hoping to connect to God, but he can't. Somehow he gets a hold of a text of Isaiah, and on his way home, he's reading. Imagine where this guy's heart is. He wants to know God, but he just doesn't know it. He needs help. And what happens? God brings Philip to him. And Philip starts with that story in Isaiah. And can I just tell you this? If you've never read Isaiah 53, you should read it. Written like 750 years before Jesus, it literally describes in the first 10 verses of chapter 53 this Messiah who would come one day, who would be pierced for our transgressions. He would be bruised or crushed for our iniquities. This Messiah is going to come to pay the penalty for the sins of the world. Isn't that crazy? 750 years before Jesus. And what does Philip do? He shows him. From this point forward, let me explain to you who Jesus is. And he talks, I'm sure, about the cross and about the resurrection. And he talks about the salvation that can be found in Christ. And he talks to him about the step of baptism. And so here's what happens. Verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I think the amazing thing about this story is that you see no hesitation in Philip, and you see no hesitation in the Ethiopian eunuch. This Philip was this guy who's already following Christ. He's already considered in the circle. He's in step with the Lord. God tells him to do something, and he does it. He doesn't hesitate. And I tell you what, that's where God meets him. Imagine what this did for Philip's faith. Imagine what it did. Imagine us believers in the room, if we're following Christ, when God tells us to do something, we just do it. Don't you think God's going to be right there? That's the beauty of being in step with the God. And don't hesitate. You hesitate, you miss out. But this Ethiopian hears the clear message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to pay the penalty for sinners, just like him. And what does he do? He immediately responds to the point, and I love this question. He said, "What prevents me from being baptized?" And he looks at the water. "Let's go. Let's do it. What are we waiting on?" Now, was he planning that day to do that? No. Was he planning on giving his life to Jesus? No. But a clear message of the gospel, when you understand it, demands a response. You know, today I want to do two things with you in the crowd, and this is my job. I think sometimes we come to church and we want church to be kind of like that thing you go to, you event, you kind of hang out, you hear some good message, you sing some songs, you shake hands, you smile, and then you go home, right? But my job as a pastor is to equip, to inspire, to challenge you. And so I want to challenge you today. For those of you in the room who are following Christ, maybe there's something in your life that you need to do and you know it, you're just not doing it. I want to challenge you today. Talk to the Lord and say, "God, I'm yours. Christ followers follow Christ. I'm yours." For some of you in the room today, you are one of the people recently that have raised your hand. Over the last several months, lots of people have raised their hand at the end of a message and saying, "I want to follow Christ." Maybe you grew up and you were baptized as a baby. There's no disrespect to your parents who did what they were supposed to do to put you on the path to know God. But in the New Testament, everybody who was baptized had made a conscious decision to become a believer and then was baptized. And I just want to say that maybe is your step today. If you've been, you know, if you've raised your hand recently, baptism might be your step. For some of you in the room, maybe you've spent your life being religious. Maybe you haven't, and you're here today, and you've never given your heart to Christ. I want to challenge you today to give your heart to Christ. It's time to raise your hand, if you will, to allow Christ into your heart. So what I'm going to do in a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you just to respond to God, and then the band's going to come back out, and we're going to sing some songs. But during that time, here's what I want you to do. If you came here today, and you know you've already given your life to Jesus, but you haven't been baptized, like if your heart's pounding right now, that's you, all right? If you're like, "Oh my gosh," and you're thinking, "I can't do it," well, I would repeat the words of the Ethiopian. What is to prevent you? We have the clothes, ladies. We have the sports tops. We have the shorts. We have the t-shirts. We have the makeup remover. We have the scrunchies and hair dryers. We have the towels. We have slippers. We have everything. We have a backpack you can put it in. We have it all thought out. Towels. What I'm going to ask you to do when we stand and pray, I'm going to ask that you just slip out of your seat and head back to the coffee area. There's going to be someone there that will direct you, and it won't take but a few minutes. And if you're thinking, "Oh, my friends are here, they're going to think I'm crazy," does it really matter? I mean, isn't God the one we're supposed to honor? Just head back and head, they'll take you down here. We've got two locker rooms and two bathrooms back here. They'll take care of everything. Take that step today. So let's stand and let's pray. Let's close our eyes and bow our head and just talk to the Lord. If you're here and you know there's been a decision that you know God's been really hammering you with, and you're a Christ follower, you know, but maybe you've been hesitating on that decision, I'm going to ask that you talk to God right now about that. Tell him that you hear him loud and clear. And ask him for the courage and the faith to take a step this week. Lay that thing down to God and say, God, I'm going to follow you. Don't hesitate any longer. If you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to tell you there was just keep praying. I'm going to tell you a story. There was a young lady that was here over the summer named Kirsty, and she was brought by a friend, and this friend was praying for her. A lot of people were praying for her, and one day at the end of the service, she decided, just like maybe some of you need to do, she gave her heart to Jesus, and I remember her raising her hand up that day. Not long after that, she contacted me and wanted to get baptized. The only problem is she had to have surgery on her hand, and she was worried about, you know, what was, you know, the cast and all that. And I said, do you want to wait? And she said, no, I don't want to wait. We'll bag it. We'll wrap it. She didn't want to hesitate. She wanted to get baptized. I remember watching her that day thinking, praise the Lord. This is what it means to be a Christ follower. I want to say to you, if you're in this room and you've never given your heart to Jesus, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you know that you're a sinner and you know it in your heart and you've never asked for forgiveness, you've never said, Jesus, please forgive me. Here's what you do. You say, God, I believe you. I believe in you. I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent your son to die on a cross for me. And I believe that he died. He was buried and he rose again. Just tell God that. Just right in your heart. Just tell God right now. God, I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again. But you also need to tell him, God, I also recognize I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. It's an important step. Just tell God. Own it. If you've never done that, just own it with the Lord. This is on me, God. Tell him. But then call out to Jesus. It says, anyone who calls the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. You call out to Jesus by saying, Jesus, will you please come into my life? Will you be my Savior? Save me from my sin. Jesus, I'm surrendering my life to you to be my Lord. I want to follow you. If you've never done that, I'm going to ask that you do that right now. Just tell him, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. You know, as you're doing that, you might think, it's that simple? It wasn't that simple for the cross, but he paved the way. He did that for you. And your little step of faith right now by turning to God has made you right with the Father because of your faith and because of what Jesus did. I'm just going to ask in this minute, if you just prayed that prayer, if you did that, I'm going to ask that you do one little thing in this moment with everyone kind of still chilling in prayer, heads down, eyes closed, between you and me, I'm going to ask you to take a step of public declaration just by raising your hand up. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. There's something about it, the public declaration. So I'm going to ask if you prayed that prayer anywhere in the room, just raise your hand up. Hold it high enough that I can see. Thank you. Anyone else in this room? Thank you, God. Pray that you just move in our church today. Move in our hearts. Help us to be Christ followers. I pray that the believers in this room would be strong, follow you in faith. For those who are taking first steps, I pray you would meet them there. And for those that need to be baptized, they would do so. We ask in your son's holy name.